This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, March 20th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for KUAF comes from To Enjoy Magazine, a local publication featuring the arts, culture, and entertainment. The March-April edition showcases responsible living. Subscriptions and more information available at 464-8900 or numeral 2enjoymag.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, what goes into a TED Talk? Two TEDx Fayetteville speakers discuss how they are preparing their speeches on discovery. Also, musicians from the band Cuddy Rye come into the Furman Garner Performance Studio to discuss and perform songs from their upcoming album.
Plus, Roby Brock discusses a busy day for the Arkansas legislature and more. But first, a bill to require Arkansas voters to show identification before casting a ballot is on its way to the governor after clearing its final hurdle in the Senate yesterday.
Cast the ballot. Senate Bill 2 passed as amended by the House, 22 yeas, 12 nays, enroll it.
The bill was already passed by the Senate, but it picked up an amendment in the House, so yesterday's vote was to adopt the amendment. Opponents of the bill say it's an unnecessary barrier to voting for poor and older voters. Speaking on the Senate floor against the bill, Senator Joyce Elliott, a Democrat from Little Rock, likened the voter ID requirement to undue hardships imposed on black voters to keep them from voting.
I never dreamed that I would have to face the same kind of things. It might not mean that to you. It obviously does not. But I'm telling you, unless we are fixing a problem today that you can demonstrate exists, there is no compelling reason to do this.
The bill's sponsor, Republican Senator Brian King of Green Forest, says requiring voters to show ID will only strengthen the democratic process.
We address those concerns, and I can see where they're coming from on their concerns. But the reality is, as we've looked at other states, that voter turnout has went up where they passed this. So the voter suppression thing, we've debated that and been through that. The part about the poll tax, we've made it where they just have to go to the county clerk's office and they get an ID to be able to vote. I mean, we've made this pretty simple.
The next stop is Governor Mike Beebe's desk. He has not said whether he'll sign it, but says he's asked the Attorney General about the constitutionality of the law. We'll have more on the bill's passage later on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
Michael Cannon of the Cato Institute says Arkansas lawmakers should avoid as much state responsibility involved with the Federal Affordable Care Act as possible. The health policy expert from the Free Market Cato Institute spoke with lawmakers today in the Senate Insurance and Commerce Committee to discuss the state's options regarding what to do with its health insurance exchange. Cannon says the state should leave the exchange up to the federal government.
Rather than create a health insurance exchange or even try to help the Obama administration implement an exchange through a partnership model, I think that the state's much better off trying to protect its employers and those 130,000 Arkansas residents from these illegal taxes.
Cannon says an Oklahoma lawsuit calling part of the Affordable Care Act an illegal tax could force lawmakers to take another look at the entire law. Annabelle Ember-Tuck, chair of the Arkansas Access to Justice Commission, provided another view to reporters following the meeting. She's on an advisory committee for the health insurance exchange the state is already working on and says the state will be more responsive when dealing with individual consumers' issues.
Our insurance department will be there for the complaints. Have you ever tried to call Washington to complain about something? You can complain here under this partnership and under a state exchange and get some action.
In response to a question from Democratic Senator Joyce Elliott of Little Rock, Cannon said he was there to both advise legislators on the state's health insurance exchange and to push stopping the Affordable Care Act altogether.
Facilities Management at the University of Arkansas will receive an honor from the Arkansas chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council. The department has been recognized for achievements in sustainable design and construction. University officials say by the beginning of the next fall semester, more than 30 buildings on campus will either be LEED certified or under consideration for that distinction. The buildings include new construction and renovation projects. The award will be presented next month during the Green Tie Awards in Fayetteville.
A proposed new facility on the UA campus is getting a funding boost. Nick and Carolyn Cole are contributing $250,000 to the planned construction of a new performing arts center. The venue, the Jim and Joyce Faulkner Performing Arts Center, is expected to seat 650 people and will be inside the renovated old field house on campus.
State Representative Darren Williams, a Democrat from Little Rock, and Senator Jonathan Dismang, a Republican from Beebe, are both sponsoring a new House bill known as the New Markets Jobs Act. It's geared toward the private sector in the form of tax cuts to encourage investment in community development of struggling areas, which could bolster the creation of new jobs across the state. According to Representative Williams, the bill is based on the existing federal New Markets Plan, one that he says has created success in other states.
Missouri passed legislation. They've created 3,700 jobs since passing this legislation. Florida's created over 4,000 jobs with an average wage of about $4,000. So we believe this is a smart way to give more tools to the Arkansas Economic Development Commission to try to expand existing business to create jobs, as well as to try to grow new jobs in the state of Arkansas.
The New Markets Jobs Act is currently supported by over 60 members of the House and Senate and has been referred to the Committee on Agriculture, Forestry, and Economic Development for further consideration.
The Arkansas Razorback softball team is at the 20-win mark after the first no-hitter thrown by a Razorback softball pitcher in more than 7 years. Kimmy Beasley tossed the gem yesterday against Savannah State. Arkansas is now 20-10. The last no-hitter thrown by an Arkansas pitcher was March 5th, 2006. Arkansas plays at Savannah State again this evening.
The first few hours of spring might include some wintry precipitation. Just how much depends on where you live. Today's forecast includes sunny conditions with highs from the upper 40s to the mid-50s for the entire region. Tonight, the expectation is for a few clouds, lows from 27 to 35. Then, tomorrow, 90% of chance of freezing rain or sleet or possibly snow. Little or no accumulation expected around Fayetteville, though as much as a half inch might be seen around Eureka Springs, and parts of Benton County could receive up to an inch. Harrison might see up to 2 inches, according to the National Weather Service. Tomorrow's forecast for the Arkansas River Valley includes mostly rain. Highs throughout the listening area tomorrow are expected to be above freezing and as warm as 50 in parts of the River Valley. A variety of precipitation is in the forecast for Thursday night. Again, the type of precipitation will vary depending on location. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Little Rock is Roby Brock. He is the editor and publisher of Talk Business Arkansas. Roby, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you as always, Kyle.
We are how many weeks into the legislative session, the General Assembly, and things have not become any less interesting in the last couple of days?
No, we're, I think, in our 10th week of the session, and there's still a lot of big items to deal with, from steel mill super projects to Medicaid and tax cuts, and there's progress made on all those fronts, but I think we still have easily another 3 to 4 weeks on the dashboard horizon for the people of Arkansas to see what their legislators are going to do at the state capitol.
Yesterday, the Senate Bill 2, which requires voter identification, was passed. This was at times a heated conversation, and there is the potential, there's discussion that this could have a gubernatorial veto.
Yeah, this bill is extremely divisive to require a photo ID at the polls when you go vote. It is an issue that Republicans think wholeheartedly and in lockstep needs to be passed into law. Democrats contend that it is going to curtail and suppress voter turnout, particularly in certain populations that typically vote in a Democratic base, lower income, sometimes less educated voters. And so you have just seen some really heated rhetoric on both sides of this. The point of contention is that Amendment 51 to the Constitution dictates what is a qualification to be registered to vote. And the theory is if you are registered to vote, you should be allowed to vote without any further proof. That's the argument that has been made. This photo ID bill, Senate Bill 2, would not make changes to voter registration, but it would make a change to your qualifications to be able to vote. And so the constitutional argument is, by adding this extra layer of identification, are you in effect changing the qualifications to be able to vote? interestingly, Amendment 51 allows that those provisions to be changed by the legislature, but it requires a two-thirds supermajority vote in order to do that. This bill has made its way through the legislature with a little bit more than just a simple majority vote, pretty much along party lines. It has not gotten supermajority votes. The decisions that were made yesterday at the Capitol are that a simple majority is how this legislature is going to proceed with it, which is obviously in Republican control, and that's the way they want to handle that. So we'll see what happens. It's at Governor Beebe's desk now. He is waiting on an AG's opinion that may determine and isolate some of these constitutional questions. So we'll see if he winds up signing it, vetoing it, or letting it go into law without his signature.
You mentioned tax cuts still to be discussed and acted upon. You say there is some progress there?
Yeah, there is. What typically happens in a legislative session is the governor, with his proposed balanced budget, meets with legislative budget leaders at a critical point in the session where they start hammering out the Revenue Stabilization Act. That's Arkansas's balanced budget provision. Those talks began over the weekend where legislators bring their ideas to the table. The governor has his ideas, and they kind of get in a room for several hours and they start hammering things out. It does not happen in one meeting. It happens over a period of several days and weeks. My understanding is, and I have sat in on a few of these in the past, there's a lot of yelling that goes on and gnashing of teeth. It's a pretty spirited discussion that goes on. But in the end, they do cobble together something that they can all live with traditionally, and I think they will do that again this year too. But so I think they're close. I think that the governor has acknowledged that he is going to have to give more on the tax cut front than I think he is comfortable with, but I think that's the reality of a Republican majority in the House and the Senate, that they are going to push for some tax cuts that are going to be beyond his comfort level. And in the end, the legislature controls the budget process, and they'd act on the governor's recommendation, and he has some say in it, but the legislature controls the purse strings.
Last month, there was House Bill 1418 that was introduced. That would take some sales and taxes from the sales of cars and put it specifically toward highways and not to redirect from the general fund. I know that it's been introduced, it's been amended a couple times. The future of that bill?
Yeah, that's a good question. I honestly couldn't tell you today what the fate of that is going to be. I can tell you the executive branch and the governor's office is working very hard to lobby against that. The premise of the bill from Representative Jonathan Barnett, who's a former highway commissioner and is really, no pun intended, driving this bill, is to incrementally over a 10-year period take 10% of those isolated sales and use tax items that are in the realm of auto parts, car sales, et cetera, things that are basically tied to users of roads, and incrementally move that tax revenue into a highway fund. As you may recall, we passed a half-cent sales tax for highways last November. It's got a 10-year sunset on it, so by about the time that would sunset, this new revenue would be up to 100% over a 10-year period if it goes in 10% increments. And the theory is that with the basically, highways are mainly funded by gasoline taxes. With improved fuel economy, we have just seen those tax revenues decline over the last several years. And so I think highway officials and people supportive of roads in the state of Arkansas want to find some replacement revenue. They've got a 10-year window to find a way to do that without raising a tax. So they're trying to tie this to a user fee, more or less. I think because the governor is fighting it so hard, I do think that it's probably got an uphill battle right now. But I just don't think the final chapter on that has been written. And I'm not aware of it being part of the negotiation that's going on in revenue stabilization right now. So we'll have to see where that goes. That's a good question.
More to be expected today. You can follow legislative coverage at talkbusiness.net. Roby Brock, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kyle.
This is Ozarks at Large. A week from today, a dozen speakers are assigned the difficult job of bringing ideas worth spreading to a sold-out audience attending TEDx Fayetteville. A licensed spinoff from the popular TED Talk series, the speakers are challenged in 18 minutes or less to use the theme of discovery to inspire those listening. The Fayetteville event follows a Bentonville TEDx held last year. Last week, Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas invited two of the 12 speakers to talk with her about the process of preparing for their talks. Hyatt Tuyachev, professor of broadcast journalism and documentary filmmaking at the University of Arkansas, and Alexandria Merrow, co-founder of Soul Yoga Lounge on Dixon Street.
As a documentary filmmakers, we tell stories. And when we try to find a story, every time we find an interesting story idea, we discover something. So the way I'm approaching my speech and my talk and the idea is just to give some examples of the discoveries that I made in the past and to share it with the public and how it inspired me and how it motivated me to grow and advance in my career, in my life, in my, you know, social and economical and spiritual sides of my life.
So was it, when you heard the word discovery, was it just, I mean, you just knew exactly what you were going to, you know, the topics that you were going to talk about? Did it come very easily for you?
I kind of second-guessed. I wasn't sure what the discover stands for until I did some research and I talked to some people. For some reason, in the beginning, I thought it's Discover Northwest Arkansas, kind of this region, because it's kind of a hidden gem, the Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas. So I thought that's the theme. But it's not just that. It's many different aspects of the business aspects of the life of the city, of the region. It's the spiritual thing. It's the altruism, many things. So by having this combination of people who are involved in different kinds of areas, we are trying to show the public to discover these new things in the region.
In the region, yeah. Alexandria, did you do some research also? How did you approach discovery? How did you view it?
So the best way to answer that question would probably be to tell you that we had our rehearsals last night, and David Bradley, one of the leaders of the event, told me that I should consider letting the audience know beforehand that my talk will not be a normal TED Talk.
Okay.
So I would say
now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'm taking the discovery aspect and sort of turning it around on the audience and talking to them about what their discovery should be while watching TED Talks.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I'll say.
That's then. All you can say. Okay. Your job as a yoga teacher is so different from what you do, you know, and global business. You know, it just seems so different to me.
Sure. Yeah.
How do those two things relate? You know, Walmart.
You know, that might come out a little bit more in my talk, too, but I can say that my thought process at work and the way that I approach things is from a yogic standpoint, for sure. So on the outside, it might not look like it, but on the inside, it's my yoga practice happening at work, for sure.
Did you know that that was the approach that you were going to take when TEDx approached you?
Saying that TEDx approached me is kind of a little bit unfair. I was super excited and totally reached out to them to see how I could help. And I got the opportunity to speak through that. But I for sure it's definitely playing a role in what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So how do you make sure you don't go over those 18 minutes?
Well, I think it's all about practicing. And when you practice and you time it, you will have a good idea of if you're going over or under. So you can pace yourself and you can either speed up or slow down. But at the same time, it's a lot of pressure. It's 140 people watching you. But something makes me feel good is that those people are really passionate about it. So if you have little mistakes, they will be, I hope they will be forgiving.
Yeah. Well, and it's members of the community, of your community. So that, I don't know if that puts more pressure on or lightens it a little bit. Yeah.
I actually was thinking about what kind of people these are. I mean, the audience is going to be. So for those who probably don't know about it, this is a, they're going to lock you down for pretty much the whole day, for most of the day, from, if I'm not mistaken, from 10 to 4:30. It's the same audience, so you have some breaks, but this is the same audience that's going to listen. So you have to be really dedicated to find time on Wednesday, which is a working day, to sit through all the talks.
Well, Alexander, did you think about the audience also? I mean, you've said you've kind of flipped it, put your TED Talk in the hands of the audience. So yeah. Did you think about the individuals and who these people are?
Absolutely, and my talk will change based off of the audience the day of, for sure, and based off of what the other speakers are saying and what the energy looks like. Yeah, I think it's a constant evolution.
It has potential to change on Wednesday?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Actually, I have no idea what I'm going to say on Wednesday.
Really?
I understand the point that I want to get across, but not quite sure yet what it'll look like. I feel pretty strong about the point, and we'll just see how I can tie it in and connect it back with the audience.
How many TED Talks did you watch? Did you watch TED Talks as you were thinking about what you would speak about?
I'll be honest, I haven't seen all that many. Just over the years, the ones that have spoken to people I know well and who've communicated to me. I don't so much go out to TED and like search for something inspiring, but the ones that have come to me, just browsing online or being sent by someone, have been so powerful. And definitely referencing the authenticity of the strong speakers and just going with what's true to me, I think, is what TED is all about, for sure.
Is there one speaker or one that comes to mind that's really been inspiring and powerful to you?
The first one that came up when you asked that was, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was about CAPTCHA, like the little boxes, security boxes, when you create like logins online.
Okay.
Where you have to type in this word or whatever, and it's all skewed. Did you guys see this
mm-hmm.
one?
I haven't seen that one, but it's
so good. The dude like created this process where you're actually typing out books and like translating copies of pages of books each time you're filling out one of those forms. So a really cool TED Talk that ties in like what seems like a totally annoying thing. So
and just
time,
random.
Right. Each time I go online, you know, totally annoyed that you have to spend an extra 5 seconds. But actually, you're translating a book. And there are hundreds of thousands of books on this planet that are not in computer systems because they were written hundreds of years ago. So kind of cool.
So it actually has a purpose.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is there one for you that you can recall that's really stood out?
No, it just depresses me every time I see the quantity of the content out there. So much. If I'll just get on the official website, I get depressed because there's so much stuff that
it's
I'd
inspiring.
Like to watch. No, it's so much stuff that I'd like to watch, except I don't have, you know, time to watch it all. I'd like to watch. But, like, I think the ones which are you would remember are more, like, on the radical side. Not radical, more on the radical idea side. This lady, she was talking about brain. And she had, like, a real brain on the stage. And she was touching it. And she was talking about how we think. And she had brain seizure herself, and she's a scientist. and she was diagnosed with schizophrenia, I think, at some point. Basically, she was a brain surgeon, a brain scientist, neuroscientist. Yeah, that blew me out, the preps that she had.
What is a good TED Talk to you? What is that? What is what does that mean? You know, what makes for a good TED Talk?
I think you don't show up with bullet points to TED and expect audience to be paying attention and being interest, except if it's something like breakthrough. In my case, it's I decided to go with stories because I really feel comfortable because I really care about storytelling. And I think every time you say, I'd like to tell you a story, people listen. And they really could relate to stories. So that's what I'm going to do. But you really have to be creative to keep attention of your audience, especially if you're in a TED Talk.
One of my favorite things to say to people is, you know, tell me a story. So, yes. I don't know, you know, just with friends or, yeah, I'm like, yeah, tell me a story. You know, yeah. If there's a lull in the conversation or, you know, I'm just like, yeah, well, tell me a story. Yeah. So I don't know.
You should be very, I think, do some homework and get creative and get your audience involved.
Yeah, make it personal. The couple at the rehearsal that I watched is, you know, the more personal, the more you connected with it for sure.
So you were able to watch some of the other speakers.
A couple, yeah.
And what were your thoughts?
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So cool. And this event is going to be incredible.
Alexandria Mero and Hyatt Tuyachev are two of a dozen speakers scheduled to participate in TEDx Fayetteville a week from today at Walton Arts Center. They talked to Ozarks at-largest Christina Thomas last week. One note, our own Kyle Kellums is another one of the 12 speakers. The event is sold out, but the video recordings of the talks will be available online sometime after the event at the TED website, TED.com.
It is Wednesday, March 20th. 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Becca Barton Brown from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers is with us.
And it's happy spring.
Tomorrow, right? Isn't tomorrow the first full day of spring?
I'll start today.
I have no problem with that.
Let's start with a movie.
Okay.
Spring break movie, 2:00 at the Fayetteville Public Library. Free. Wreck-It Ralph. This one does not come in.
This.
Yeah, Amanda and I have not seen it, so it does not come endorsed.
Okay.
But it looks like fun.
It looks like fun.
Mm-hmm.
I normally don't tell you about the Mystery Book Club at the Bella Vista Library, but they're going to talk about one of my half dozen favorite authors ever, Joan Hess.
Ah.
That happens at 6:00. If you've never read any Joan Hess books, shame on you and go to this book club.
So this will be just kind of an overview of her Maggotty and,
yes,
and Faberville,
yes,
sort of things, yes.
Obviously set in the Ozarks, in places you recognize.
Yeah, the ones especially about Faberville,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to go too far to figure out where we're talking about. And there's buildings that are just like Old Main and Carnell Hall, and it's fun.
I, on the other hand, spent the early years of my adulthood in Madison County.
And that's where Maggotty is set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You will laugh until you can't breathe. And tonight, as part of the Goddess Festival, the Spring Equinox Ritual,
mm-hmm,
at 6:30. It's not at the Omni Center. It's at the Senior Activity and Wellness Center at 945 South College Avenue. It is, of course, free, and you can find out the whole schedule for the Goddess Festival at, surprisingly enough, goddessfestival.com.
When does the equinox event happen?
6:30.
Okay.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And we are inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio with 3/4 of the band Cuddy Rye. Gentlemen, we'll talk about the 25% of the band that's not here in a moment, but please introduce yourselves.
Sure. My name is Adams Collins. I play banjo and do a little bit of the singing.
I'm Chooch Meisenbacher. I play guitar and do the bulk of the singing.
I'm Peyton Easley. I play guitar, and I try not to screw up all the singing that these guys do.
And who are we missing today?
Miles Bolin. He's indisposed. I think he's slinging pasta right now.
Okay.
Oh.
That's a good excuse. He's got the,
I don't think it's a good excuse.
The day job.
Adams, let's start with you, because you've been in this studio not that long ago, but you had a vibraphone at the time.
It's true.
This is your alter ego?
Yep. I studied jazz for a number of years and was doing grad school and just got sick of jazz. And so I left the country and I took a banjo. And while I was gone, I learned how to play the banjo. And then when I returned to Arkansas, I met these guys out at a campfire, and they had already had a previous band, and they welcomed me into the family. So I was pretty fortunate.
So is it just standard practice for musicians to show up to a bonfire with their instruments in tow? Is that a thing?
It's expected, I think. especially at this particular bonfire, it was Cody Russell, a guy that used to play with Charlie Horse, and so it was encouraged that everybody. And so you end up with about 20 people there. Everybody's got a guitar. Now, fortunately, we were lucky enough to get some time before everybody was there. It was just the three of us playing music, and it just, you know, we could tell from the beginning that it was working out.
We were the three guys that showed up early, like before the party started. We're like, hey, you guys here to play music too?
And you know, there are all sorts of banjo jokes, but but you weren't run off by the guitarists?
Oh, no. There's a surprisingly small number of banjo players in the area that play, like, straight-ahead bluegrass. There are a handful of folk and old-timey players that are really excellent, but I haven't got to meet too many other bluegrass players, so it's kind of a fortunate position to be in as the only guy that's playing bluegrass.
You mentioned around the bonfire, you could tell it was working out pretty quickly. Explain to those of us who are not musicians, what is working out? How do you make that connection and know that it could possibly go beyond the bonfire night?
Well, I've been trying to put together a band for the past 3 years, and this band has taken many different turns, and we've tried different genres. I knew that I always wanted to do bluegrass, but I didn't quite have the players to do it. You know, Miles, the one that's not here, he's been with me from the beginning, and then I got hooked up with Peyton here, and we were kind of doing more of a rock sound, but I was always really captivated by bluegrass music. It just, the instruments and the setup just didn't really allow it. But we were, Peyton and I, in some of our shows where it was just him and I, we were really experimenting with trying this. Band Devil Makes Three is like my favorite band, and we were doing a lot of their songs, and I was trying to play the banjo very unsuccessfully, you know. And so when we, you know, found a banjo player who was, you know, Adams is very talented, that was interested in you know, playing my music, you know, the music I write. You know, that's where I kind of felt like it clicked. We were working with a drummer. We got rid of the drummer, and it sort of made this four-piece, and it really complemented the music, you know. So it was just something. When we were leaving that, we said, man, we really hope this guy will, you know, come play with us some more, and, you know, very fortunate it's worked out.
So did you guys already have your band name when you met?
Well, we've been, we were going by Chooch and the Sidehill Gougers for about the past 3 years, but it's encompassed so many different players, you know. I've gone through half the guys who play music in Fayetteville just trying to find the sound.
Sure.
And we were going by that with this new album that's coming out, and with being in some of the papers. People couldn't remember Chooch and the Sidehill Gougers. They weren't. They couldn't find us after shows. They couldn't remember the name. So, I really felt like it was time to make the change to something that was smaller, something people could remember later on and look us up. So, and the band name is fairly new. We've been going by Chooch and the Sidehill Gougers for about 3 years with, you know, different players.
But now Cuddy Rye.
Cuddy Rye, that's right.
Yeah, with a new CD coming out, you know, it was like a good time to kind of transition. Establish new names, new CD, you know, new gigs, hopefully.
CD is going to be available during the CD release party?
It will be. That will be the first time it's available, March 24th at Greenhouse Grill from 5 to 9. And then we'll make a link. Our website is cuddyrye.wordpress.com. So we'll have a link on there to buy as well and to download, but yeah, the CD release will be the first time that we're selling it.
And what's the name of the album?
It's called Half Pack of Chesterfields. It's my grandfather, who I was very close to, just passed away. And the one thing I asked for was he had quit smoking right in the middle of a pack. And he used to smoke these Chesterfield non-filters. And he quit right in the middle of a pack, and my grandmother was, you know, you're wasting them. Just finish it. And he says, no, I'm done. And so she made a paperweight of it. And it's 30 years old by the time I got it. And that's the one thing I asked for of his. And so I've got this old paperweight that my grandmother made that's, you know, cracked and yellow and has a pack of Chesterfield. So it was sort of, dedicated to my grandfather, who I just lost.
How many tracks are on the album?
It's 10.
10.
Mm-hmm. One of the songs you're going to play for us is Free.
Mm-hmm.
Your composition?
It is, yeah. I write everything on the CD. These guys, I'm able to write. I play on sort of a basic level. That's a good thing about playing with these guys. I'm able to bring the music to them, and they really add a lot to it. But as far as basic words and the basic part of the song, I write everything.
The song that we kind of heard that you were using so we could set levels and get everything was I'd Kill Myself.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that song.
It's meant to be a little bit of a, you know, shock factor, obviously, but it's a representation of the extremes that you might go through with this situation, a breakup or something like that, where, in the beginning it says, you know, I'd kill myself for you, and I'd burn my house for you, and I'd wreck my car, and I'd kill somebody for you. But then at the end, it sort of resolves and say, you know, I'd live my life for you, just a life far away from you. So it's just sort of going through those emotions of really feeling something extreme for somebody, and then finally at the end going, I think the best thing is for me to just not do anything.
All right. Let's hear some music.
Okay.
And the CD, again, available at Greenhouse Grill on the 24th.
On the 24th, yes. And I'd kill myself for you.
That's what you wanted me to do. That's the way that I could prove to you that I knew whatever you want. Over and over again, I've tried one life for a friend, and I'd do whatever you want over and over again. truck for you. That's what you wanted me to do. Right off the road and out into the blue, and I'd do whatever you want over and over again. And I'd kill a man for you if that's what you wanted me to do. If that's the way to make you say I do, then I'd do whatever you want over and over again. And I'd live my life for you. That's what you wanted me to do. Just live a life that's far away from you, and I'd do whatever you want over and over again.
Cuddy Rye will host a CD release party from 5 until 9 Sunday evening at Greenhouse Grill in Fayetteville. The new album is titled Half Pack of Chesterfields. More information at cuddyrye.wordpress.com.
KUAF is supported by Flora, a full-service floral design studio located at 7 East Mountain in Fayetteville. Flora offers fresh-cut flowers, terrariums, potted plants, and more, while utilizing local organic farmers and green growers from around the world. 442-7010 or floranwa.com for more information. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
It is spring, or just about spring, everywhere on the planet. And to help us talk about the outdoors is Daniel Hintz, who's the executive director at Downtown Bentonville Incorporated.
That is correct.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Bentonville has always been a place where you could go outdoors, mm-hmm. but over the last couple of years, you're really taking advantage of the outdoors.
There has been a concerted effort from a lot of different groups, whether it's the city and the Bentonville Parks and Rec Department, Bike Bentonville, FAST, the folks that are behind a lot of the bike trails, as well as running groups like Rush Running and things, really getting people out, getting people fit, also with the whole food conversation. So there's a lot of groups doing things to help people live better.
There's going to be a running series this year?
There is a running series. This is brought to you by the Bentonville Parks and Recreation Department. It's a Run Bentonville race series. Now, they had just completed one a couple weeks ago. They expected about 200 runners. They had over 700. And so each one is sort of themed differently. You have a Glow Run on May 31st. That's a night run. You have a Razorback Greenway on September 7th.
So that'll be on the trail.
That's on the trail. A Goblin Run on October 26th, obviously Halloween. And then a Frosty 5K on December 7th. It's $25 a race. It also then helps you build if you're looking to the half marathon, which is going to be coming up very, very soon. The half marathon in 2014, it's a great opportunity to train for all of those as sort of your highlights or placemakers to train for 2014. So that's one example of what the Parks and Rec Department is doing. But one of the big things that's coming up very, very soon on April 6th is the Bentonville Running Festival. That's the half marathon, a half marathon two-person relay, a 5K and a fun run that starts at 7 a.m., starts out of downtown, circles all the way around, and comes back into downtown. They had expected, about 1,800. They project now this year 2,800 to 3,000 runners to participate in this event.
Across the whole
thing. Now, they're still registering, folks, and there's online registration, which closes on April 2nd at midnight. So if you've been training and want to jump in there, you certainly can. But this Bentonville Running Festival is a phenomenally well-crafted event. The route takes you on some beautiful parts.
Yeah, I was going to ask, where are you, 13.1?
Mm-hmm. There's actually, you run all over the north side of Bentonville, but as you're coming up, there's sort of a famous hill that you end the marathon on. I've heard it call all kinds of things, Heartbreak Hill, all kinds mm-hmm. of things. But that's become one of the signature experiences of this half marathon.
This is what happened when runners put together a running course. Oh, let's have them end up a hill. Now, granted, in Northwest Arkansas, it's hard not to do that.
It is.
I think Winslow does. I think Fayetteville does. So it's mm-hmm. hard not to. But.
Yeah. But I think one of the things, while it does end on a hill, and sure, you can call it cruel, I think the support network, and this is the great thing with the Bentonville Parks and Rec and Rush Running and a lot of these other groups, there's a huge support network of runners that are saying, come on, if you've never run before, join us. If you've got a hard time getting off the couch, just put on some sneakers and come out. And just get started. Just do that first step. And then you have people that do this professionally that live around here. They're like, I can do a half marathon in my sleep. So it really is a wide variety of folks. But as we talk about this, getting out and hanging out with folks, I think one of the big things is that it's all on the trail system. We have some beautiful trails. There's a master trail plan that you can check out at the city website at bentonvilleAR.com. Now, what that is there's a trail system consists of three loop trails within parks, seven linear pedestrian pathways and bikeways along city streets, and several all-terrain mountain bike trails and on-road bicycle routes. And what this does is creates a network of over 35 miles of trails, and a lot of it connects to the downtown experience. So you can go, you can ride a bike, you can run, and then come down, hang out, go to some great museums, mm-hmm. 21C, go to some great meals. So it really does a great experience.
And you have maps.
Oh, yeah. No, the Bentonville Convention and Visitors Bureau, whose office is directly on the square, they have maps, but you can also go to the City of Bentonville website to get information about those maps.
Because the thing is, and I think people who don't live in Fayetteville have kind of seen the Fayetteville trails around. You don't really know how they connect. And I've done that with Bentonville. I've been mm-hmm. driving and said, well, there's a trail. I wonder if that connects to this one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they do.
They all loop around. They all loop around. And you start looking at the Dogwood Trail at Crystal Bridges and the Tulip Tree Trail. Try to say that fast six times.
Not.
The Tulip Tree Trail. And they're going to be blossoming, of course, all coming right in. It is spring, which creates a gorgeous thing to do with both families and hanging out. A lot of the trails around Crystal Bridges are great. There's also the overlook, just before the leaves start coming on, the overlook to Crystal Bridges right off the trail there. And that is absolutely magnificent, especially really early on in the morning. The birds are out. You're kind of by yourself. You get to look out over the Crystal Bridges campus. It makes for a beautiful walk before the heat
right
descends upon us right from summer.
People can take advantage of that during spring break. Aren't there some things at Crystal Bridges that are going on? I mean, we're in the middle of spring break now, mm-hmm, but still time.
Now, while you're overlooking spring break, you can imagine what's happening, of course, within the four walls of Crystal Bridges. And they actually have activities geared for folks of all ages. Wednesday through Sunday, the museum is offering free drop-in art programs, gallery tours, art-inspired films, a lot of programs geared towards students and families. And on Thursday and Friday afternoons, Trike Theater, which is a theater for young audiences in Bentonville, will be dropping by for improv and puppetry performances. So a great experience. You come down, you park on the square, you go for the walk,
you walk
on the
right
trails, you go hang out at Crystal Bridges, you walk on back, get a great meal before you head back home. So it really becomes an all-encompassing experience.
And the Norman Rockwell is still up.
The Norman Rockwell, if you haven't been, you truly are missing an amazing slice of the American story. It is really incredible. You look at his early work and how it's matured through the whole his whole lifetime as an illustrator and as an artist. So you get to really experience a slice of Americana with that show. That continues. Visitors have been hanging out. I mean, tons of folks have been coming through, and we're seeing a lot of those people in downtown. And there's actually a new pop-up museum store, so you can go down there and actually bring some things home with you, if you will. Not the stuff on the walls,
right,
but the stuff in the
right
pop-up store.
Right.
And they offer guided tours at 2:30 every afternoon. So it's a great way to view the collection.
Members free.
Yes.
But it is timed.
It is timed.
You get a timed ticket. So
recommendation, depending on what's going on, is to still either go to the front desk, go online, or give them a call and pick up your tickets.
I've heard Thursday evening is perhaps the least crowded time. Though if everyone knows that, it then becomes the most crowded time. But that's what I've heard.
That's right. It's the power of radio.
Exactly. All right. Information about any of this can be found at?
Well, information obviously about Crystal Bridges, crystalbridgesmuseum.org.
Right.
You can also go to downtown Bentonville at downtownbentonville.org. And then if you have any questions about the trails or what's going on with the running festival, with the running festival, it's runbentonville.com. Or you can go to www.bentonvillear.com and click on the Parks and Recreation link to find out information about Parks and Rec.
Daniel, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Support for KUAF comes from Pilates Plus, offering Pilates mat and equipment group classes or private instruction. New ballet bar classes and massage therapy also available. More information is available at PilatesPlusNWA.com or 287-4519. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Danville.
Where's Danville again?
Danville is in Yell County.
All right. So spring break, almost about halfway through spring break, if you have said spring break.
Right. And like many spring breaks that you have in the Ozarks, we're going to get a break from spring, it looks like, in the last couple of days.
With some chilly weather.
Not so much right here where you and I are sitting.
Sure.
But the further east and north you go. The good news is, I guess, the temperatures are going to be above freezing
right
during the day tomorrow. So,
not hazardous, probably.
Right.
Okay.
Not for very long, anyway.
Well, regardless of where in our listening area you are, you can still listen to us. We have a show tomorrow featuring some spring-inspired stories.
Yes.
And on Friday, we'll have another anniversary show.
Right.
Our anniversary of
me producing the show.
There we go.
23 years.
There we go. So something to look forward to there.
Right.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Thanks again for listening.